British voters will vote in less than a week to decide which party will control parliament and who will be prime minister. Polls show Prime Minister Boris Johnson's Conservative Party in the lead over the opposition Labour Party, led by Jeremy Corbyn. A key issue, of course, is Brexit. Johnson wants it to happen by the end of January. Corbyn is less clear. He wants to give the people another say. On other issues, Corbyn is running from the left with specific promises like these.
Is it asking too much to have a social care system that doesn't leave our older people isolated and afraid, but instead gives them dignity with free personal care? Is that asking too much? How about a decent pay rise, a real living wage of at least £10 an hour right away?
Jeremy Corbyn has been compared to left-wing politicians in the U.S., like Bernie Sanders. He is a departure from Tony Blair's more centrist style of governing, called New Labour, but he's very unpopular, despite the popularity of some of his policies. Joining us now is Stephen Fielding, professor of British politics at the University of Nottingham. And Stephen, Corbyn was first elected Labour MP in 1983, but he spent most of his career as a backbencher. How did he become party leader?
The way in which it happened was that Labour had just lost in 2015. It would be the third successive election defeat. And people were saying, look, New Labour was good for a time, but after the banking crisis, the financial crash, there's new politics, austerity, inequality is increasing. We need a new way of dealing with this as a political party. We need to go back to the left, in other words. And his immediate predecessor, Ed Miliband, tried to finesse the difference between New Labour and a more left-wing approach. But that didn't really wash. So in 2015, when Miliband stood down, most Labour members were fed up with maybe compromising with the electorate, or at least sort of centre ground voters, and wanted a kind of true left wing sort of socialist programme. And Jeremy Corbyn was the, I mean, in a way, a kind of dumb beneficiary of this. He didn't expect when he stood for leader that he would win. Most people didn't expect that he would win. I certainly didn't expect it. But there was this kind of frustration with how the party had almost kind of lost its soul during the New Labour years and now wasn't even winning elections. Mm-hmm. So he was kind of an expression of a pent-up frustration.
And in 2017, Labour didn't win, but it did a lot better than anybody predicted. What has happened since then to make Jeremy Corbyn so unpopular?
He did very well in 2017, again, unexpectedly so. People imagined that maybe he would go from strength to strength from that point. I mean, some of his own colleagues said that if only the campaign had gone off 1 week longer, he would have ended up in number 10 in Downing Street as Prime Minister. But since then, I mean, this is something that would have foxed any Labour leader. We've had the Brexit vote, the referendum to leave. And that is something which he has found very, very difficult to deal with. Corbyn's got very interesting background on this, and it does go back to his 1970s left-wing roots, because the left, the Labour left, were very much against what was then the European Economic Community. And we actually had a referendum in 1975, and Jeremy Corbyn was one of those on the left that voted to leave. So he's actually an original leaver. Mm-hmm. And all the way through the 1980s and the 1990s, he's been criticising the direction of travel of the EU, you know, seeing it as a kind of neoliberal mechanism, a way of increasing competition and basically against socialism in many ways. So he's been a very big critic. So in some ways, he's a paradox. I mean, he's leading a left-wing party. Most of whose members and voters want to remain in the EU. But because of his own left-wing ideology, he actually does want Britain to leave. The reason why he's been ambiguous and now he's adopted a neutral position is because he doesn't want to make that difference between his own members and himself too apparent, because that's quite dangerous for him.
When you look at all of the issues that are out there in British politics, there are a lot of issues that Corbyn stands for that the people are behind. Green energy jobs, home care for the elderly, taxing the wealthy. What does it say that he is so unpopular and that Labour has been behind in the polls for this upcoming election, despite how popular his ideas are?
Well, there's a kind of a traditional problem that the left have had in this country, which is a lot of the things they actually stand for are very popular. The Labour Party created our National Health Service. The National Health Service is possibly the single, after the Queen, is possibly the single most popular institution in Britain. And Labour's association with that cannot be broken. History has kind of made that. So Labour is seen usually to be on the side of ordinary people. And because of the way things have gone In terms of the economy and the sense of greater unfairness. Many of the proposals that Labour has are, you're absolutely right, individually very, very popular. Mm-hmm. Taking all kinds of industries back into state hands so that the money doesn't go to shareholders, it goes back into profit and to keep prices down, and generally speak to being on the side of ordinary people. The problem for the Labour Party, and this is something that Tony Blair tried to fix, you know, with a kind of laser-like focus, is that people generally don't think Labour's very good at running the economy. So with Corbyn, who stands for individually many policies that people believe in, they look at him and they don't see somebody who is going to be very good at managing the economy. And it's partly to do with how the media has constructed him, and partly to do with how he actually looks and how he talks. They don't see him as a conventional political leader. And that's a strength. That has been a strength for him amongst certain voters. It's one reason why he did quite well in 2017. But now in 2019, Labour's message is we're going to spend something like £85 billion extra every year on all these things. And for a lot of people, that's just incredible. They like the ideas, but they just don't believe Labour's really going to do it. And they don't believe it's going to do it well because of Jeremy Corbyn, I would say.
Well, what do you think of the comparison between Jeremy Corbyn and Bernie Sanders? A lot of people have made that comparison. They're both outside of the establishment. They don't look like traditional politicians. They're both older white men. Are those comparisons fair?
Oh, yeah. I think in general terms, they most definitely are. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn lived on the margins of his own party for decades. He was, some people didn't even really consider him a Labour Party member, though he actually was. And obviously, Sanders is, well, he's not really a Democrat, is he? And they both, I think, have tapped into a frustration with how politics has been going, how the economy has been going, to articulate a kind of a protest against the direction of travel and a demand for things to be reversed at the very least. I think Jeremy Corbyn, because of the nature of British political culture, which accepts the role of the state much more, I mean, like I say, the National Health Service is one of the most, you know, socialised medicine, is something that even Margaret Thatcher didn't want to tackle directly. And whereas in the United States, well, not so much. So Jeremy Corbyn starts from a further left position because of the nature of British politics. But definitely there are so many parallels between the two, it's uncanny.
How important do you think Brexit is to Jeremy Corbyn's struggles? If there were no Brexit, do you think he would have been more popular in this election?
Brexit hasn't helped. I mean, most definitely it hasn't helped because it split the Labour vote. And I think it's the way in which Jeremy Corbyn managed the Brexit dilemma, the very poor way that he managed the Brexit dilemma, which is really proved very tricky for him. I think any Labour leader would have found it a trouble. So if you can imagine Britain without Brexit, and from where I'm sitting, that is a very difficult thing to do, given we've been living it for 3 years or more. If you can imagine it, I think the landscape would be easier for him because the Labour vote wouldn't be so divided between Remain and Leave. But there would still be some issues, I mean, significant issues of, can we trust Labour with all these promises to deliver on all these things, things that we like? Brexit has got nothing to do with those. So I think things might be easier. And given that this is a very tight election, maybe it could have made a difference.
What's your prediction for what will happen in the election?
Well, the way polls stand today, and we have to be very careful with what polls are saying right now and how things will be in a week's time or so, the way they stand now, it's a Conservative government or a hung parliament with a bias maybe towards a Conservative majority government. So a Conservative government that can get Brexit done in the sense that it could take Britain out of the European Union in January of next year.
Do you think that'll happen?
What,
it's hard to make Brexit predictions, I know.
Well, even with a Conservative government, a majority Conservative government that has the votes in the House of Commons to actually get Britain to leave the EU, there are so many intractable problems. And, you know, then the next phase of negotiations, the new relationship with the EU starts. And so the idea that Brexit can be done by January is, of course, a myth, because Brexit and the consequences of Brexit are going to be with the British for, you know, a decade or more.
That is Stephen Fielding, a professor of British politics at the University of Nottingham in the UK. Thank you so much.
That's okay.
And again, the election in the UK is coming up next Thursday.